Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter, number 2, chapter 2, verse 26. Luke chapter 2, we'll start at 25 and then go down to especially that 30th verse is what I want to dwell on. So just follow with me, please. I read from the Holy Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit, capitalized there, the Holy Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Stand with me, please. We just read that one verse. In unison, we'll read it three times. Verse 30 only. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Our Father, we praise thee for thy word. We do pray that we would see Jesus tonight in all of his wonder, in all of his glory, even as an infant. We just see Jesus. Dear Father, we see in this country, and dear Lord, often in the churches and in our own church as well, we see, dear Lord, this emphasis on commercialization, dear Lord, out in the highways and byways of this Christmas season. Then, our Father, we see, sad to say, even the devil brings in confusion even into the people of God. And dear Lord, I pray that we would see the wonder of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I pray that we would see the wonder of the virgin birth, the wonder of his birth in all of its glory. Dear Lord, when some are worshiping Santa Claus, Lord, we realize that that's sure far from pleasing to thee. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one to be worshipped. And then, Father, we see others that don't seem that they want to even recognize the season at all, and it grieves our heart. Dear Lord, we ought to be able to sing the beautiful carols and sing them with joy and gladness. And so, Lord, we pray that we would have some balance in these areas. We pray, dear Lord, that none of our thy little ones, the sheep, dear Lord, would get run over or get discouraged. And dear Lord, may we realize this is a family time. This is a time of getting away from other things and just being around our own immediate family. Sometimes we're able to get to see the other parts of our extended family. And dear Lord, I pray that we'd have harmony and sweetness, even with our, as best we can, even with our lost relatives, as much as possible, as we ourselves look to Christ and He alone. Now have thy way, Lord. Keep us from the extremes that would hurt and hinder us. And may we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. And may we see thee as thou art in the Scriptures. And we'll thank thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. it says in the scriptures here, and when he saw the Lord Jesus, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I want to go back to Matthew and Luke 2 and get the picture. As I was reading today in Matthew, the very lengthy article that Matthew Henry has in his commentary. Then I went over to Luke 2, and by the time I got to Luke 2, I was just shouting the victory in my living room as I was reading and getting excited about the wonderful things that Matthew Henry was saying about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm sure that you won't get but bits and pieces of that tonight. And these men that have studied so much and have had so many hours of meditation when there was no media to say. There were no magazines of any consequence in the days of Matthew Henry. And he read the great divines from days gone by, the great Dr. Poole and all the other ones that were so wonderfully adept in their study of the scriptures and so faithful, giving themselves a good part of every day to just nothing but the scriptures, and then meditating on those as well. And so I tried to do some meditating as well on that, but I was just so excited as I just thought about the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby. And so going back to even before his birth, and how that Mary, it was announced to her that he shall be born of her. And so this was all, the angel came and spoke of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Then how Mary goes to Elizabeth's house, and the first thing that you hear, the first of any kind of action, could we say, that is derived from the Lord Jesus, is when Mary comes into the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin. And as she comes in, John the Baptist was already in the womb of Elizabeth 6 months. And the Bible says that at the presence of the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary, John the Baptist 6 months along in the womb of Elizabeth, he jumps for joy at the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what this tells me? The first thing that the Lord Jesus brought to this world was joy, excitement, and just the thrill of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to an unborn little John the Baptist. And the Bible says of John, who was his predecessor, you recall that was a miraculous thing as well, for Zechariah didn't even believe that Elizabeth would have a child who would be the forerunner, who would be the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," at his baptism. And then the one who would always be the forerunner and pointing people to Christ. And what happens there with that is that Elizabeth, who was past the age of childbearing, much like Sarah, and much like Hannah was barren, and many others in the Bible, Rachel, I was thinking of Rachel, the wife, the favored wife of Jacob, and how that Joseph was born to, and he's a wonderful type of Christ, and how he was born. Joseph was the firstborn, and Jesus was the firstborn. The firstborn, not of Jacob, but the firstborn of Rachel, you recall. Joseph of the Old Testament. And here is Joseph, and he's brought into the world, and how he's such a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus. And so we're getting back to Zechariah. Elizabeth, here is she is with child, and Zechariah didn't even believe it, and he was struck dumb for the whole 9 months until the baby was born. And then they asked him about his name, and he wrote the table, and his name is John. And so everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, even his forerunner, even the one who's going to point to Christ, so many miracles involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that here he is, and he's announced by the angel to the shepherds, the poor, not to the chief priests, not to the scribes, not to the elders, not to those that know the law, the lawyers, but he's announced to shepherds like David, who was the, Christ is called the Son of David, and David was out there and he was made king, and Jesus is our king. And what? Little David was out there taking care of the sheep. He was a shepherd. Moses is called the deliverer. God sent him down there to deliver all of the Israelites there in Egypt. And what was he doing when God called him in the burning bush? He was taking care of sheep. And our Lord Jesus, he's that great shepherd of the sheep. He's the one. He's the king. But here he comes and he's born in great poverty. Don't feel badly if you're born to extremely poor parents. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the universe, the Savior of all mankind, was born in poverty and raised in obscurity. And yet, He was the King from the very beginning. So, here He is and He's announced to the shepherds and they run over there. But I'm sure that Mary and Joseph had already picked up the Lord Jesus and looked him over real well. And there they are looking at this little promised one that God had told them, even his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And they'd looked into his eyes, don't you think, if he'd opened them yet? And then they take him over there, but anyhow, the shepherds come right there in the manger. No room for Jesus in the inn. But around the inn, there's the stable where they keep all the animals. I think that's a likely place for the Lamb of God to be born. Amen? And where is he taken? He's not put in a beautiful bed like a normal king. The very bed sheets or whatever they had were nothing but rags, swaddling clothes to show his poverty. And they wrapped him up, and like a little baby they do, and they'd wrap him up, and you know, like a little bambino, you might say, they'd just wrap him all up, and he was kind of bound, wasn't he? And yet his very self was that which spoke the worlds into existence. For all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's talking about Jesus. See, he didn't start in his mother's womb. He's the eternal God-man. He was there in the beginning. And he condescended and came out of the ivory palaces and the riches of his father to come down and be born in poverty so he could associate with poor ones like us. Associated and akin to sinners. In fact, he even became sin on the cross. But here he's born to such poor parents that all they could offer at his birth were turtle doves or pigeons. They didn't have enough money for a lamb. They didn't have enough money to get a bullock, a beef, and give it to God. All they can come up with is a couple turtle doves because they're so poor. And yet, this king is wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a little manger. Poverty of poverty. The eating trough of the cows and horses or mules or whatever they had there. And yet he's the King of Kings. By the way, you know what it says right after that? I mean, it says in John 1, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jews. The Bible says all the shepherds went out everywhere. After the angel came and told them about that, can't you see Joseph and Mary, they looked into the eyes of Jesus probably. They did shortly afterwards, if not right then. They looked him all over. And then, what do we have? We have the shepherds and they come and they look at the Lord Jesus Christ and probably, we don't know, but they probably talked. First, when they heard this great company of angels, first one angel and then a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing. And so they fear at first. And he says, fear not. And then what? He tells them all about that. Go to Jerusalem, and you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Listen, these shepherds, maybe they had to have it pinpointed, maybe they didn't. They probably were familiar with that stable, that place they keep animals, for that was their job, taking care of sheep all the time. And so they go immediately and drop everything and go in there. Probably talked with Mary and Joseph all about, and maybe Mary and Joseph told them all about what God had told them already. And then the shepherds, surely they told Mary and Joseph, they told them what the angels said in the multitude of the heavenly hosts singing and praising God. And boy, they said, they were so excited. They didn't care if he was in a manger or not. I want you to know something. When they came into his presence there in that stable and saw the babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, they were pleased beyond compare. They were excited. They were as excited as John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother, at the presence of Jesus. And then we have, at 8 days old, they take the baby to Simeon in the temple. And Anna's there, she comes in too. And God had told Simeon, you will not die until you've seen the Lord's Christ. God had told him. And here he comes in, and he takes the babe in his arms, and he said, now thy servant can depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I tell you what, Jesus was primarily, he was the Savior. Not the healer, he was the Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What great things. Simeon was so excited, he said, I can die now. Everything's all right. The prophecy has been fulfilled. And Anna went. By the way, here's 8 day span. Don't you just see them all over the place? Coming from the shepherds who went to everybody and told everybody about this Christ child. Where is everybody? I said, where are they? I see there's a bunch of unbelievers around this area. For it says Anna went to all. She was 84 years old. And she went to everyone in all Jerusalem who looked for salvation. But is it not strange that we see almost nobody else coming to him, just a bunch of shepherds? Poor shepherds who God made evangelists, probably very devout men. The Bible says, by the way, while they were out there watching their flocks by night, they were watching. They weren't sleeping. They were actively, so they didn't have to be shaken. When the angels came, they weren't half asleep. They were on vigil. They got everything that was there to get. Amen? So we need to wake up. For we know not. And they didn't know. They couldn't believe all this. You talk about lightning, friends. They were scared to death, the Bible says. Amen? They were very grave, seriously afraid. So we had to say, fear not. Right? Bring great good tidings of great joy. Isn't that what it says? Great joy, which shall be to all people. Listen, you know, the presence of Jesus ought to bring joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Christian. You say, well, I've been discouraged the last 6 months. You better not stay like that. You're not acting like Jesus wants you to act. Something's wrong with you. You're anemic. You're spiritually sick. Amen? I'm telling you, God put me in this place to tell you how sick some of you are. Don't have a smile for anybody. So worried about Santa Claus and standing against him, you have no time for the sinners that need Christ. I speak against him too, but we better be careful we don't go overboard on this stuff. And pretty soon we don't see anybody who needs Christ anymore. We're so obsessed with things we don't like. And the commercialization of Christmas that we absolutely just become a little hermit. By the way, this His Baptist churches is to remove that hermit type thing. Brother Jasmine said there's pastors all over this country and they cannot find any fellowship in holiness and they're going into becoming hermits and they're becoming so independent that they don't want to have anything to do with anybody. because they can't go to any fellowship meeting nationally, he said, now that they can have fellowship with and realize that they're promoting holiness instead of a bunch of foolishness. I want you to know something. When the presence, just at the thought of John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb, it speaks of exceeding joy, but it speaks of a holy joy. A joy that's holy. That which they, the shepherds experienced was a holy joy, a heavenly joy. It wasn't happiness, because happiness is according to the haps. No, joy is that artesian well springing up, always excited, even if everything's going wrong. That's what joy is. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, the word happy is in the Bible, so don't throw it away. Okay, it is in the King James Authorized Version. But the truth of the matter is, we have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm telling you, Simeon was excited when he saw the Lord's Christ. Hannah was so excited. At 84, she went to everybody in Jerusalem. But within 2 years, nobody knew Jesus was even around, it seems like. Because about 2 years later, according to the great Matthew Henry and most all the other scholars, because Jesus was in the house then when the wise men came, and they'd seen the star in the east 2 years prior to that. Herod, these wise men, and by the way, there could have been 14 of them. One of the early writers said there was possibly 14 of these wise men and or kings of the east. It was a great number. It probably was not three, because they make it three because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts. But there's nothing in the Bible that says how many there were. No, there were probably 10 or 14 of them there with a great caravan, with a great train as the Queen of Sheba came. By the way, didn't Jesus say, a greater than Solomon is here? And she came and she said, I can't believe it. That one half has not been told of all thy glory, Solomon. But I had to come and see for myself. Well, we need to come and get a good glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ and see him as he really is. See, many of them saw him as a baby. What about those first 8 days? They didn't stay in the stable the whole 8 days, probably. Unless that was his little hospital area, I don't know. But they got to the temple. Amen? By the way, that was in Jerusalem, wasn't it? So they had to get over there from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, right? Amen? So they took him back, because the eighth day he was named and he was circumcised there in the temple. He was brought to God and presented to the Lord in 8 days. And so, here she is. Anna goes to all that's looking for redemption in Jerusalem. And 2 years later, wise men come, and they've been coming for how long, we know not. But they said that Herod inquired diligently when they first saw the star. And it was around 2 years. And the great Mr. Henry says that he believes the Lord Jesus was about 2 years old. So they stayed in Bethlehem and or around Jerusalem. They stayed there somehow for about 2 years. And then these wise men, they come. And they come and they're looking for Jesus. They're looking for the King of the Jews. Now, how in the world did they know he was the King of the Jews? How did they know? Either God spoke to them. I know one thing. The whole thing was a miracle. The star was in the sky. And they followed this star in the sky. It was not a natural, normal star. It might have been a very low star. Apart from the other high stars way out there, and God somehow told them, this star will guide you to the King of the Jews, the anointed one, the promised one. And these men must have been devout men in some way. Though they were considered by some to be astrologers, soothsayers, and everything else, I don't know. They're sure looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think they're losing their past ways, and we all did too when we came to Christ too, praise God. I know one thing. They're coming sincerely to the right one. And they come into Jerusalem, and they say, where is the King of the Jews? Well, why weren't Listen, if he'd been there for a year to 2 years old, why weren't all the Jews worshiping him? They knew where he was going to be born. Anna spread the word. Hello? The shepherds spread the word. Nobody seemed to believe the word. Israel was dead of hearing. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, these that were the wise men from the east were Gentiles, without question. They were Gentiles. So if the Jews won't receive them, the Gentiles will. If the Jews reject the shepherds and reject Anna and reject Simeon and everyone else that's looking in Jerusalem for redemption, and they say, no, he's not the Christ child, I will not worship him, God will have his wise men coming in a great caravan and for a long period of time and come into the city. Where is the King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. That's what they said. They came to worship a male child that was born who was the promised Messiah. And they followed a star. I think that's seeking for Jesus. I think that's seeking for praising him. And then it so bothered Herod. He wanted to be worshipped himself, Herod the Great. He wasn't very great. He was wicked. The proof of that is he killed every child after that he could find, every boy baby under 2 years old. Because he had diligently inquired when they saw that star. But the star might have not, as I said, might have not been way up in the... Maybe it was like kind of like that cloud by day above the tabernacle for 40 years. And the pillar of fire by night above the tabernacle. Maybe it was like that. That pillar of fire. That pillar of a cloud. Maybe that star was like that. I don't know what it was, but God told them that would lead them to the Christ child. And they come and they who did they call there? The king, the wicked king. He calls all the priests. Get this now. He calls all the priests, all the scribes. It's what it says. Read it in the scriptures. In Matthew or Luke. I think it's in Matthew. Called all the scribes. Those were the ones that handled the law, copied the scriptures, told what the scriptures meant, and then all these scribes and Pharisees, chief priests, and inquired where he should be born. And they said, we all know where he's going to be born, Bethlehem of Judea. For that's what it says in Micah. He'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Oh. So what do they do? They start going there. In fact, it seems like, why didn't Herod make sure? He just said, you come back and tell me when you found him so I can worship him too, you crooked, lying devil, you. Herod. And you know what? They get so excited. He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they start out, no star now. The star had disappeared. If the star had not disappeared, they would not have been asking everybody in Jerusalem, where in the world is this Christ child? We don't know when it disappeared. For Jerusalem would be the place where you'd think the Christ child would be born, because that was Zion. That was the city of David as well. That was the place where the temple was. The worship of God. Almost everybody would have thought. In fact, that's where almost all the scribes and chief priests you'd find. They'd all be in Jerusalem. So what happens? They set off for Bethlehem. They probably said, well, which way is Bethlehem? Oh, it's over that way. It's about just a few miles, about 4 to 7 miles down the road here. Just go. So they start going. All of a sudden, there's a star in the sky again. Woo! But it doesn't say that one Jew went with them. It doesn't say one chief priest went with them. It doesn't say one of the high priests, the chief priests, the scribes, not anybody from Herod's crowd. None of them go, it seems like, with these wise men from the east. But they don't care. They see the star that they'd seen all the way as far as it took them. And they come and they find the Christ child, for the star is right over and shining down on that little place, that little house, wherever it is in Bethlehem. It says the house there. It doesn't say the manger. It doesn't say the stable. It says the house. And then they present unto him all these things. They worship him. first they present themselves and worship him themselves, then they bring their gifts to him. And just like these others that had come to see Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, so here these come from the east. They believe they were probably from Arabia, from the east. In fact, they were called men of the east. And then they were satisfied, and the Bible says they left, and you hear no more about them. But weren't they, for Gentiles, they were a worshiping bunch, weren't they? They were a believing crowd, weren't they? Well, where was that? Where were the Jews? What was their big problem? Where were all those different ones in this 1 to 2 year time span? And then, instead of going back to Herod to tell him, the wise men, they listen, and God speaks to him again. If God spoke to him then, said, don't go back there, go a different way, I think that the Lord spoke to him really before they started out on their trek. I think they came by faith even then. Even though the star was there, I believe they came by faith. But God will often have some kind of a sign or some kind of a promise, and it'll be so real. There's the star again! We know we're on the right track! Forget Herod the king. We don't know if he's sincere or not. But we'll find him. We'll find him. Let's go, fellas. Amen. Oh, that we'd see Jesus. And when they came in there, just like the shepherds, and just like Hannah, and just like Simeon, and just like his parents, when they looked at the face of the little Lord Jesus, it was not just a little boy baby. It was the Messiah, the promised one. It was the God-man. It was the Christ of Calvary that was promised in Genesis 3:15 that the heel of the Savior shall bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent shall bruise his heel in Genesis 3:15. All the way through the Scriptures, it told about this Christ that was going to come and his kingdom. And his kingdom's still going on. That's why we're here tonight. His kingdom is in the hearts of men. God's Spirit doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, but he dwells in temples made by God. Our body is the temple. He dwells in believers. Puts that yearning in your heart to see Jesus in all his glory. You know, isn't that the way it is today? People, they either just see a man or they see the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about with their physical eye, but I'm talking about their spiritual eye. They either see much in Christ or they see he's just another man. His blood is just like anyone else's blood. No, it's not either. It's God's blood. His body was the blood, the body that God Almighty had given him. He was the God-man, and that same body was nailed to Calvary's cross, and he came out of the tomb, not just spiritually, he came out bodily, and he's still in that glorified body. And the Bible says the marks of the slaughter are still upon him. Just depends on how we look at Jesus. I'll tell you, when Simeon looked in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ at 8 days old, he was looking into the eyes of his Creator. He was looking into the eyes of the God of glory. Just the way you look at Jesus. So, how are you going to see him? How are you going to see him? I was thinking about the revelation. And that's how we ought to see the Lord Jesus Christ now, in his resurrected state. Did you see him at Calvary before you got saved? Have you seen him at Calvary recently, bearing your sins in his body on the tree? Have you seen him in the high priest's office, interceding for you? What does Jesus mean to you? What do you see in Jesus? Do you see what Simeon saw? Do you see what Hannah saw? Do you see what the Queen of Sheba saw in the Christ of Solomon? In the wonder of Solomon? The Bible says in one place, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isn't that what Isaiah said? I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I'm telling you, friends, the great thing that's needed, and I've preached on it the other day, is the missing jewel of the evangelical church is what A.W. Tozer said, or the evangelistic church, is worship. But oh, thank God for the woman there who was kissing his feet. She saw something different in Jesus than Judas did. And Judas walked with him for 3.5 years. He saw the dead raised, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the lepers cleansed, the palsied men up and running, leaping and praising God. He saw all that, but he never saw Jesus like the woman who was kissing his foot. He maybe was more moral, Judas, than the woman at Jesus' feet ever was. But she saw him in the right way. She saw him like Mary saw him. She just sat at the feet of Jesus, drank in his words. Judas was criticizing because she was lavishing so much wealth in this ointment, this very costly ointment on the Lord Jesus, because he didn't see that he was going to be buried, and 3 days later he was coming out of that grave. All he could see is the woman's sin, and he was so righteous, he thought. But it didn't last long. He went out and hung himself. True believers don't do fool, stupid things like that. You better not think of it either. Amen? I think as the years go by in Tabernacle Baptist Church, I'm going to have to preach on this more. This business of just because you believe like we do that you're saved forever. Amen? We don't believe we lose salvation, don't we? Believe you're saved forever. And that gives you no right to take your life. Shame on you. You affect too many people. Amen? Very terrible, selfish, sinful, stupid, satanic. What was the fifth one? There was a fifth one, huh? Sad, very sad. When a person takes their own life, it's very sad. Let God say when he's through with you. Amen? You say, one of my relatives did that. I'm sorry they did, friends, but they shouldn't have done it. I said they shouldn't have done it. I don't care if that relative, and they lose hope, and they just die because they lose hope. They have no business taking a bunch of pills and get to hurry up the process. Amen? I said they have no business doing that. I said, I don't care how old they are. God might have some other person that they need to be an encouragement to. Even in their own sickness, even if they're sick. I don't believe in this euthanasia stuff, a bunch of wickedness. Now, if they want to pray and say, Lord, please take me home, that's fine, but don't you help the process. Hello? Don't you help the process. Devastating. Well, let's close. Amen? And someone says, amen. I'll tell you what, do you get excited at his presence? Oh, do you just get filled with joy like I was as I reading about my lovely Lord Jesus? Don't feel badly if you're poor. You're in good company. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Why should you and I be treated any better than our Lord and Master? And they nailed him to a cross and spit upon him. I think you're a very weak soldier of Jesus Christ, if you can't take a little spitting in your face for the Savior's sake. Anybody spit in your face yet? I know they've done it with words, but anybody? I mean, oh man, you can't live in Christ very long without that. How many ever got someone smacked you, hit you because of your love for Christ? Well, I see two hands there. Amen. How many ever spit at you? I see two. Spit at you for your faith in Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, how well are you going to do? I had one fellow, and I've told you this many times, our regular people. I was preaching on the street. He said, I'm going to hit you. I got taken down to the police station a number of times. I've got stopped out on this fort many times. Amen. I've been asked to leave the Fort Hood many times, and too many times, thank you. They ought to honor the man of God with the book of God. And take care of these rebels that are accusing me of doing something unjust by trying to rescue the perishing. Care for the dying and weep over their erring souls that are going to hell fire if they get killed over in Iraq. You have no business stopping me about much of anything. I'd have free reign of those barracks. I'm a child of the king. They sure honored me when they thought they're bringing all the body bags back during the last war, the Saudi war. They called us all in. They thought they'd need us, and they'll probably call us again this time. They're expecting more losses this time, you know. They're talking more about it. Even with our great, some have said already, we'll have more killed in friendly fire this time than last time. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. We may only lose 50 instead of 150, but that 150, it could have been your brother or your father or your uncle or your dad. Amen? One's too many. But I'm telling you, they ought to honor a man of God. Don't just call on me when you need me. You need me all the time. I have Christ. I have the answer for a sinner. I have the answer. No alcohol and no drunken driving. You heard about Austin just yesterday, didn't you? The woman. We're going down the wrong way on I-35 and she runs into two people and kills a 19-year-old girl just like that. Alcohol. I almost got killed going on Fort Hood the other year. Some idiot drunk comes in there in the wrong way. He's coming in the wrong way into Fort Hood and I'm going out and he's coming in. Praise the Lord, he went over to the side of the road over there. We were just coming off in our van, and lo and behold, this fella, he gets up against the edge. He was so drunk, coming down the wrong way, he goes up against the rail. And his car just stopped it when it hit the rail, and he was just out. The only thing is his engine kept running, and it ran so hot, it started the whole car on fire. Here people are jumping out of their cars, and had to smash the window in the car to get this drunk out of the car. I so wished I'd have got his name and go over there and say, you'd be in hell if it wasn't for some nice people that pulled you out of that burning car. What are you going to do with a woman who goes down the wrong side of I-35 and kills a 19-year-old girl and maims up others because of alcohol? I think they need Jesus. Amen. Need to be born again. But we preach against that stuff. Amen. They should appreciate us. Amen. If they let us preachers be free over there on the fort, maybe we'd save a few of these young fellows. They wouldn't have to have so many funerals or so many court cases and so many divorce procedures and so many child abuse cases over there. Brother Lightsey's in one of them. He didn't tell me what it was. He said he'll tell me after it's all over with. Well, if there was a preacher around, maybe we'd have got them under conviction enough. At least they wouldn't have done what they did. The Word of God will really make people feel miserable until they get right with the author and right with the book. Amen? But if they don't let us put it on them, they don't want to be told they're sinners, do they? So they say, please come over here and get this crackpot off the floor. He's giving out gospel literature. He's bothering me. They say, well, you need to go to church on Sunday. Just shut up. I don't have any time for you. I've got more important things to do. Goodbye. Why don't you pray for the preacher, you idiot? We're in a mess in our country. When they don't need our Bible, they don't need preachers, they don't need righteous, holy people. All they want to do is listen to these bunch of wicked, carnal, atheistic, agnostic bunch of people. Something's wrong in the hearts of our whole people. This politically correct stuff is just, they're going crazy in their heads. And I don't care what you think about it, whatever that guy said, well, I won't get into that. But I will state this, and if they don't like it, I don't care if you like it or you don't like it. I'll tell you what, that fellow was sure in the Senate a long time. I think someone ought to say something nice about him. Strong Thurmond. Amen. I don't know about the other guy. I don't know a thing about him. Don't know a thing about him. Don't know if I care a thing about him. I tell you what, Strong Thurmond, what they put in that paper in when we went through our problem here with the Wiccans, you know what he said? They put it right in the Charleston paper. No Wiccans in Strong Thurmond's army. Why didn't they say that about Clinton? Some of these other people. I didn't say he was always right, but I'll tell you what, he'll be dead soon. He's 100. He's 100 years old. He'll be dead soon, and he'll be straight as they can come. He professes to be a real believer, a real saved man. He was on the board of the university I graduated from for years and years and years and years. Christian University. I'm not saying he's perfect. Never seen a perfect politician yet. By the way, I do believe, whether you do or not, I believe that our present president's a believer too. Because I had people call, there's just too many things I've heard about him. He's not straight as we are, amen, but the Lord will straighten him out when he dies and goes to glory too, won't he? He'll be so straight you won't believe it. And that goes for all of us. Amen? But he says he gives God the praise that he used to be a drunk and he's not anymore. And he is with his same wife, isn't he? Hello? Oh, that's a little better than the last president. We didn't know whose wife he was with. And that was a disgrace on every one of us, fellas. To have a man in a position and his morals like an alley cat. Sick. Amen? Sick. Our president, and by the way, the first lady ought to have some morals too. She's an example for all our precious ladies across America. Well, enough said about that. If we get our eyes on Jesus, we get some joy back in our life. They're trying to keep me from giving joy to those guys over there at Fort Hood. When they get saved, when they see Jesus, everything will be all right. Not just for a few years, but forever. If they get saved, right? By the way, I don't know about the rest of you if you got yours before Christmas, but the other day I was over there waiting for my wife. It wasn't even a visitation day. I was over in the mall there waiting for her. You know, I'm always waiting for her. Well, I kept her waiting when I was on deputation for two. Oh, I kept her waiting. I'd be in there fellowshipping with the pastors all that time. I'm getting back at her now. I mean, she's getting back at me now. Now I wait while she shops. And she makes sure that everything's okay in those stores and nobody's stealing anything and everything as long as she's in there. She must be checking everything out. And while she was there, I sat in the car. I was kind of tired, and I didn't know if I wanted to go in or anything. And I was thinking about this and that. And I said, oh, I'll go in and see what in the world she's doing. Went in the eating area there, and there was a young fellow sitting right there. And I said, I'll just sit down next to him and preach Jesus to him. So I sat down in he ended up 17 years old. Paolo was his name. Paolo, Spanish boy, speaks real good English. Over in which high school was he? I think he's in Killeen High. Because I asked him, I said, we just heard about another fella, just talked to another fellow the other week, and he's from Killeen High, and he said he believes that only about 25 or 30% are even straight over there in Killeen High. I said, that isn't true at Ellison, is it? He said, no. I said, do you know anybody that's like that? He said, oh, I know a few over in Ellison. I said, I sure hope that it's not that bad, because there was another boy by the other one, and he said that he was over, where is that, high school in Harker Heights? He said it's not that bad over in his school. This other guy, he thought that about 75% of them were all a bunch of funny boys. I hope not. Amen? So I mentioned this to the young fella. I said, but you know something, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell, even if you're straight. And I went to John 10, Jesus is the door, and I went through the plan of salvation with him right there. And I said, "Why? If you really like to, would you like to be saved? Would you like to trust the Lord as your Savior? Would you like to repent of your sin? Tell Jesus you like to be saved." I went through repentance, went through how to be saved, through the door. Jesus is the door, and heaven and hell, and where it's going and everything. And he said, "Yes, I would." I said, "Well, you need to get saved right now." I said, "Would you bow your head then and pray out loud and ask the Lord to save you?" And he said, yes, I will. And so he did. Bowed our heads. I said, because as soon as you finish praying, then I'll pray a short prayer afterwards. And so he did. He prayed. I mean, he wasn't loud, but he had his two buddies down on the other end of the table, one feeding his faith with church's chicken, who this fellow had said was more religious than he was. He went to four different churches each week. It's pretty religious. Four different churches a week. Anyhow, but this fellow, he was an ex-Catholic. And Paolo, he needed to be saved. And so he prayed, and he prayed, I believe, a real sincere prayer. And then I prayed a short prayer. And then I said, were you really sincere And he said, yes, I was. Well, amen. And I said, well, I said, where are your sins now? He said, they're with Jesus. I said, what you mean is they're gone, right? I said, yeah. Then I asked him again a little later. I said, where are your sins? He said, oh, they're with Jesus. Praise God. That's where you better get your sins. Leave them with Jesus. Amen? And I really believe he got saved. And then the other guys down the end of the table, they had to get going or something. They did have an appointment, it seemed like, whatever. And so I gave him a track, invited him over here. I said, if I never see you here, I'll see you in heaven, though. If you really got saved, if you were really sincere, if you really repented, if you really called upon the name of the Lord. That's what it is, friends. See, if he saw Jesus as the door to heaven, if he saw Jesus as the Savior, and he called upon him, as I told him he had to do, and believe on him with all his heart, you know what happens? You're saved. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, praise God, I got mine before the first of the year. And I didn't think I'd get it. I didn't think I'd even get a chance to talk to anybody sensibly that night. You don't know when God's got somebody there wanting to listen. Just thank the Lord. Isn't it so wonderful to be saved? If we just see Jesus. Let's have prayer. Father, bless, we pray. We pray, Lord, that we'd see Thee, Lord Jesus, as we did when we were first born again. We saw Thee in all Thy glory and wonder and salvation, strength. And Lord, You saved us. Cleansed us. And we knew so little about the Bible, knew so little about Thy holiness, righteousness, the things of God. And yet, Lord, You taught us. You were patient with us. And dear Lord, help us to realize that we don't need to leave our first love over it, as in the Revelation. And we'll be able to do better if we just keep our eyes fixed on Thee, Lord Jesus. So help us. Help us, Lord. With this Christmas season and New Year coming up, may we look to Christ. May we be able to point people. Maybe they'll be a little more tender toward home and toward parents and toward family and toward God and toward church things than they are at another time of the year. May we reach some for Thee.